I've told y'all before that your testimony is the most powerful, and it's part of the three things that help you overcome in the book of Revelations. I've told y'all this before, that by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and you love not your lives even unto death. That testimony, going back to that point where you first believed, that powerful moment when the joy of the Lord came into your heart. I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing more powerful that I know of. And every time you tell that story, you get to go back to that moment. That to me is just awesome. I'm going to tell you what, you can tell your testimony better than anyone else can because it happened to you. You were the original witness to what happened. You know, Jesus spoke to us over in Matthew 10:39, and he said that those who find life here will lose it. But those who lose their life for his sake shall find it. That right there is a message in itself. I'm not going there, but I wanted to point this out. Do the things that matter most in your life have anything to do with Jesus Christ? You see, sometimes we need to go back to the time that we first believed. Sometimes we need to go back and take inventory of our own lives. What do we believe? What matters most to us in this life? And our answer, as children of the Most High God, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the answer should be Him. We value Him more than our own life. We value Him above everything that is in our life. We need to value that. Because he said that if you value anyone or anything more than me, you have no part of me. That's what Jesus said. I don't know about y'all, but that would make me sit up and pay attention. That'd make me pay attention to the details of the Word of God so that I make sure that my heart is right each and every day, that I'm following after what He wants me to do rather than what I want to do. Because it says that if we do everything as unto God, that's the right thing to do. If we glorify Him with everything that we do, you see, we can be about our daily lives and still glorify God. Because we glorify Him in everything. When something bad happens, we find something good. And when something good happens, we glorify God. We glorify Him whether it's good or bad. You see, that's valuing Him more than anything in our heart or in our lives. So do we value Him more than anything else? Because you read the scripture, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to die right today, although you could. Who knows what the next few moments might bring? But those who lose his life for his sake truly find life. Truly find life. You need to ponder on that every once in a while. You need to meditate upon it. You need to think about what that actually means to you. That's where this word right here, and you've heard me say it 1,000 times, let the word get into you and you get into the word. Because you need to let it get into you to be able to live for him. And then you will have that life within you that you can actually give away to someone else. And then you have the assurance that though this earthly body is gone one day, you're going to live. You want the assurance of eternal life? You got to let him live in you. That's part of the deal. He died so we could live. Y'all have heard that many times, many different ways. He died so we could live. You know, I was thinking about praise and worship. There was a lady, her name was Ruth also. Yeah, it's a great name. Just like John, you know. Lady by the name of Ruth Heflin. Anybody ever heard of Ruth Heflin? Okay. Ruth Heflin, she's been dead now for probably 20 years. Ruth, at an early age, 14, 15, 16 years old, she was a missionary. And Ruth, her roots was in worshiping God. And she talked about God in worship. She wrote songs that talked about God and her love for God and how God had intervened in her life and given glory to God. And Ruth was also a pastor. She, at 16 years old, she was a missionary. I forget what country it was, but she was able to win some of the heads of state of that country to the Lord. Can you imagine that? 16 years old. I mean, this young lady was in love with the Lord. She was in love with doing the Lord's work. And she used to have a statement. I wrote down here. She's another psalmist. You know, I know that you write songs and just awesome songs. And she wrote praise and worship songs. And she had this statement about the way that she did things when the Lord would inspire her. And she said, what you do is you praise God until you begin to worship Him. And then you worship God until His presence comes. And in the middle of that presence, when He totally consumes you and consumes what you're thinking, consumes your spirit, that's when the glory of God comes. See, when those kinds of things come upon you, sometimes it's hard to stand. Sometimes the heaviness of His presence gets to be more than you can stand. I would encourage you to do this. Just begin to praise God. Just begin to lift Him up, that He is the only one that matters to you, especially for that moment. He's the only one that has anything to do in your life. Begin to praise Him for all the things that He has done. And then, when you begin to worship Him and give Him your all, be ready. Because when His presence comes, nothing else matters. If you've ever been to that point, you understand exactly what I'm saying today. You want to get into His presence. See, there is fullness of joy in His presence, is what the Word of God says. Fullness of joy that overtakes you, and nothing else will matter. You will actually, like that scripture says, you will lose your life, but actually find life. Because that life, and y'all have heard me say it over the past 2 or 3 or 4 months, that life in the Spirit is more real than we are. You see, the Spirit was here before we was. Y'all remember that, don't you? Back over there in the left-hand side of the book, you know, on the first couple of pages, however that your Bible reads. You see, living and walking in the Spirit with Him is more important than anything else that we will ever do, other than win a soul, which we're supposed to be doing that, right? That's the whole goal, is to win some more souls. We need to be taking all of them with us that we can. So she would say that when the glory comes, learn how to stand in the glory. In other words, you stand and receive those things which God is trying to pour into your life. I don't know about y'all. I only know what he does in my life. But I know what he does for one, he'll do for another. You see, he is no respecter of persons. He will come to you as you want him, as you need him, as you adore him, as you glorify him. When you learn to walk in that presence at all times, I'm going to tell you something. Nothing's going to affect you around you. The trial, tribulation, the suffering, you'll learn how to rejoice in it, just like the Word of God asks us to do. It tells us that we need to learn how to rejoice even in the tribulation, rejoice even in the suffering. Because when you see, when you put him as number one, when his presence resides with you at all times and you're thinking about those things of God at all times, no matter what your situation is, these things won't flabbergast you. They won't take you. They won't distract you. Because you see, you'll have a main focus. Your eyes will be upon him. Your eyes will have nothing to do with anything else. I was thinking about a young man this morning early. This young man's name was John Dow. Another John, John. John Dow. John, in 2008, John was 17 years old. Devout Christian, after God. But he got a word from the Lord about being on the mission field. And John became consumed. That's the best word I can come up with. He became consumed with doing what God is asking him to do. But what God was asking him to do is go to a remote island that no one had ever gone to and lived to tell about it, to bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For 10 years, John prepared himself to go to that island. 10 years. This island was so remote and the natives were so fierce that no one was able to even know their language. So he prepared himself mentally, physically, spiritually, linguistic classes so that he could maybe get a hold of what their language was if he was allowed to stay on the island. Preparation on living in the wilderness with practically nothing to eat. Emergency wilderness EMT training. He did all of these things through this 10 years. He associated himself with missions and missions groups that went into unreached portions of the world. He trained his body. He trained his mind. He trained his spirit. And in 2018, he knew it was time. He had heard from the Lord. So he began to make preparations. And as he did, you know how the enemy, you know, he tries to peck away at your faith. And he started trying to throw these things into the gearbox to derail John from going to this island. By the way, this island was in between India and Southeast Asia. It's a little known island called North Sentinel Island. The last people that tried to go there in 2016 were killed. In 2018, John makes his first attempt. First, he had packaged up a bunch of stuff that he knew that he could use as far as survival. And he went on shore at night and he buried it so that he would be able to have a cache to go to if he didn't get killed. And then he started to make his way This day he would go a little bit closer to the items. The natives would see him. He got close enough one time that he had one of his waterproof Bibles with him. And a young man on shore launched an arrow at him and stuck through this Bible. Well, that was merely a confirmation for him that he was supposed to be there. Because, you know, sometimes people are against what they don't understand. They're against what they're afraid of. You see, and they're more afraid of things that they don't understand or they've never seen. And then they get angry about it, which makes it even worse. And then they think that they hate it because they don't understand it. They've never been around it. But this did not stop John. He would creep closer and closer every day, trying to make some kind of contact with these people. Long story short, he made up his mind. Tomorrow is the day. And he kept a journal every day. I'm not going to read from that because we'd be here till 2:30. So he went on shore, but he did it to glorify God, not John Dow. He did it not to glorify anything that man was doing. Only God. So nobody knew the point that he went on shore. No one knew, because the fisherman that had been taking him, he went in his own little kayak that time. No one was around. The world would never know. If he died on shore, they weren't going to know about it. But if he lived and was able to get the gospel in, then they would know about it. Long story short, John died. He got on shore and he was killed, because the next day when the fishermen came by looking, because they knew that he had gone out, but they didn't know where, they saw the natives were burying a human being there on the beach. And from the silhouette of it, they knew it was John. But there were no great accolades over any of that. And he made note in his diary, I don't need any of the praise. I don't want any of the praise. I don't want any of the notoriety or the recognition. You see, when you stand in the presence of God, when you get to the point where His will is everything in your life, you don't look for any recognition whatsoever at all. In fact, you want to be lost in the background with God in the foreground. No recognition whatsoever. That's the way John was. But Christendom, Christians and people that would find fault with that, said on multimedia nonsense, they put out there, well, you know, he was a fool, he was this, he was that. And even Christians say, well, why on earth would he do that, going to a country where he knew that he would probably be killed? Well, the answer is because he heard from God. His focus was on God. He went because God had asked him to go. Now, he's not asking all of us to go to a remote island off the coast of India. But he is asking us to go, isn't he? And if he is the only one in our hearts and lives, that's what we will do. We will constantly be saying, here am I, Lord, use me. Use me. Some of y'all in this room have heard that from God, and he is using you. I dare say with the Vacation Bible School last week, there were some people that heard from God and they went to work. They stepped up to the plate because doing that was more important than doing something else. They valued the things of God more than they valued the things that they would do. Not everybody's going to go to VBS. Not everybody's going to teach. Not everybody's going to preach. Not everybody's going to do announcements, you know. Not everybody's going to be on part of the board. Not everybody's going to do everything, but we all got a job to do. And sometimes it's go. I told y'all before, he told us to go, but he didn't promise us we'd get to come back. Let me tell you about something that didn't come back. Anybody in here know who Jim Elliot is? He's a missionary back in the 1950s. Jim was a missionary to the Ecuadorian Indians. That's another tribe that had never heard the name of Jesus. He made several attempts to get in to bring the gospel to them. He finally figured out where a beach was he could land his little bush plane on, and he did, and they killed him right there. But his number one saying was, he is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. There's my scripture again. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. Will find it. You see, if we lose ourselves in the presence of God and they only see God, then we have arrived. We have gotten to the point where they see him and not us. They hear his voice and not us. I'm going to tell you what, it takes humbleness. It takes a person that's looking to do that every time. Oh, John Dow, he used to close all of his little posts. He would close his diary with a Latin saying, and that Latin saying was Soli Deo Gloria. Glory to God alone. Glory to God alone. You see, everything that we do should be given glory to God alone. Everything. No matter what it is, we give it all to him. So Jim Elliot, he gave his life. He made that attempt. But let me tell you what happened. In the world of martyrdom, we look upon the blood of our martyrs as seeds that are planted. Because there's many a missionary that went out and never came back. They went where God asked them to go and they never came back. But their blood was the seeds of the gospel that was planted. Did you know that years later, Jim Elliot's wife and his only son went back to those same tribes to win them for Jesus Christ. The very people that killed Jim Elliot. The very tribe. There was one other missionary by the name of Robert Thomas. I can remember his name really easy because he got two front names. Robert Thomas. In the middle 1800s, 1866 to be exact, he was known as the 15-minute missionary. Robert had heard from the Lord. He was from England, Englishman. And he heard from the Lord that he was to go to Korea. Well, there wasn't anybody going to Korea because there was nothing to go to in Korea. Not at that time anyway. They didn't have anything anybody wanted, so, but he tried many attempts on many different ships to get into Korea. Well, he finally found one that he hired on to as slave labor, okay? They weren't paying him nothing. He was just on there so that he could go to Korea. They went up the river at Palyang. They went up the river, and lo and behold, they did it at the wrong time because the tide went out, and they were stranded on a sandbar. Robert saw his opportunity because the natives were coming out onto the sandbar. He ran to his bunk, he grabbed his bag of Bibles, and he jumped overboard. And he went with a Bible in his hand and a bag of Bibles, telling them that Jesus loved them and that he loved them too, and they killed him right there on the spot. You see, they didn't understand. They didn't know. It was a fearful thing for them. Here is this foreigner that they've never seen a person that looks like him, and he's coming up there hollering at them, and they didn't understand what he was saying. But can I tell you that the blood that he shed on that shore was a seed for the gospel to grow, because years later, when missionaries finally made it in and didn't get killed, on the walls of the huts of these very same natives, they had wallpapered their walls with pages from the Bible. They literally read the Word of God right on the wall, just like we do now. See, that's not new. The Korean natives knew how to do that. So you see, he was sold out. Many attempts. I don't have time to go through the whole story, but many attempts on many different ships trying to get into Korea, and finally made it and lived 15 minutes. But he was in the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. You know, over in I lost track of my scripture. Y'all know where Jesus went to the woman of Samaria at the well? Y'all familiar with the story? What was it that he told the disciples? You know, they went away to get some food, and he's talking to the woman at the well and tells her that he's got the water of life. You drink from this water, you'll never thirst again. And so after he's talked with her a while, she leaves and the disciples come. Well, she goes into town and she's telling the whole town, "Hey, I met a man who told me everything about my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly." Guess what? There was such a stir, that revival broke out. They hadn't even met him yet, but they came out to see him. Well, in between time, the disciples, they're asking, he said, "Well, don't you want something to eat?" And he said, "I have food that you know not of." He says, "My food is to do the will of the Father." That's what satisfies me. That's what satisfies my great longing. That's what satisfies me to the point I need nothing else. To do the will of the Father. What's part of the will of the Father? Go. That's part of the will. We've talked about those scriptures in Matthew 28:19. Go. Go ye therefore, make disciples. Go ye therefore, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Go. Do we? Do we go out? Do we truly seek the will of God every day? Can I tell you that, and I've probably told y'all this before, but you know, God has changed the way in ministry in my life a dozen different times in the last 38 years. Not changed it away from Him, but closer to Him. In different areas. Different things. You know, I started out cutting church grass. I saw the need. I gave you all that testimony before. I saw the need and I started doing it. I went out and did something. I didn't know what else to do. I mean, I was new at this, you know. I hadn't been Christian before. I didn't know what all was going to be expected other than what I read in the Word of God, and I read it every day for 2 years, didn't read nothing else. Read the Bible 3, 4, 5 times. But I knew that I was supposed to be doing something. You see, all it takes is obedience. All it takes is commitment. I told y'all before, you know what gets in the way of commitment? Compromise. Compromise gets in the way of commitment. You know what gets in the way of obedience? Well, this is what I think. I know what God says, but this is what I think. Because I've asked y'all that question before. Is your butt bigger than the Bible? You know? I know what Jesus said, but this is what I want to do. See, you're not sold out. You're not walking in obedience. You're never fully surrendered. Because if you're not listening to Him, you're listening to the wrong stuff. If you're not staying in this Word to fill your heart with this Word, you're listening to the wrong things. You know, you need to account sometimes how much time you spend in this Word and how much TV you watch. How much Facebook time you got. How much time on your, whatever all the rest of that stuff is. What do they call it? Whatever it is. I don't know nothing about it. You see, I'm not distracted by that. I'm distracted by other things, but I'm not I'm just picking on that because that's easy to pick on. Won't you come, Sister Ruth? The other Ruth. Play a little bit for us. Can I tell you that surrendering to Him and obedience to Him is everything? You see, you don't never say that there ain't nothing I can do. Be careful. Because I know one thing right off the bat you can be doing if you will do it, and that's pray. But can I tell you that you need to be able to commune with Him with prayer? You need to be able to commune with Him with prayer that makes a difference. Because why else do we pray? Look, we're not just having a friendly talk with Him, although you can do that. Sometimes we need to get serious about our walk with Jesus Christ. We need to do what the Scripture says and learn to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, speak in the Spirit. There's a whole bunch more of it in the Spirit, and we'll, if Lord willing, I get a chance, we're going to talk about in the Spirit. He just ain't turned me loose on it. But I can tell you that it starts and ends with Him. Anything that matters starts and ends with Jesus Christ. Everything else is going to burn up. Or like John said that Brother Glenn used to say, it's either going to burn off going down or fly off going up. One or two. He's the only thing that matters. Only thing. Now, you never forget about your family. You never forget about your responsibility. You never forget about those things. But you learn to walk with Him through each and every one of those things. He should be a part of every part of your life. It's real easy to forget, though, I can tell you. Because we got lots of stuff that pulls at us. We got lots of stuff that tries to distract us. But I'm going to tell you what, when your mind is set, when your mind is focused, can I tell you that each and every one of you, if you got ready to go on a trip, you would make a plan. You would make a preparation. You would get a map. I wrote it down here somewhere. That's all right, I don't remember now. You would pay attention to the details. Can I tell you that He has a plan for you? But you got to talk to Him about it. You got to see where He wants you to go. Not just kind of float along. What are we doing, you know? Just floating along through this life? Not making a difference in anywhere? When He's asked us to go make a difference. Y'all can read it in Scripture. Y'all have read it. I've read it. We've read it here. But do we? Can I tell you that if you don't ever make up your mind to do it, you will never do it. And I'll tell you something even more than that. He left someone with us to help us. You don't have to depend upon you, because Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is here to help you. He left him here to help us. Let him. Talk to him. Let me tell you something. If you don't know Jesus today, you're headed in the wrong direction. We just get it right plain, you know? If you don't know Jesus, you're headed in the wrong direction. That's just it. If you know Jesus and you ain't serving him, let me tell you something. You're headed in the wrong direction. You need to know him. You need to understand what he wants you to do. And the only way you do that is talk to him. You see, if you don't know Jesus today, I want to invite you to get up out of your chair and come up here. And let's get to know him, okay? And if you do know him, and you're anxiously awaiting for him to speak to your heart about what he wants you to do, I want you to get up out of your chair and come up here. You see, it doesn't matter where you are. You could be here, you could be at home, you could be on the deer stand, you could be in the bass boat, you know, you could be in the grocery store, at the gas station. He's ready to talk to us, people. He's ready. He's always ready. He's always ready to give his plan to somebody and say, go get them. Go get them. Do what you need to do when you need to do it, and the job will get done. Stand to your feet with me. I told y'all before that the safest place is in an altar of prayer. That's the safest place for you to be, is in an altar of prayer, whether it's here or at your house. The Word of God teaches us to pray without ceasing, in constant communion with Him. How else will we know what to do unless we stay in constant communication? You know, are you guys that are still working full time? You have a communication with those who have ruling authority over you. You have a plan. You have something that tells you what comes next. Well, I'm going to tell you what, it's no different with dealing with God and the Spirit. He will tell us what comes next. But we got to talk to Him about it. We got to read about it. We got to let the Spirit indwell us. You see, as Sister Ruth plays, I surrender all. That ought to be our prayer. I surrender everything to you, Lord. I surrender all my hopes, my dreams, my ambitions, my family, my house, my land, my bass boat. You know, whatever it is that you have, I give you everything, Lord. And none of that's bad stuff. I'm just saying we need to surrender it to Him and keep it surrendered. Don't let it be valued more than Jesus Christ in your life to do what He has asked you to do. You see, we all got a job. Let's do our job. Let's do it. Let's reach a community. Let's reach the next door neighbor. Let's reach the co-worker. I know some of y'all in here are already doing it because I've talked to you. I know what you do. And if you're not doing that, when will you start? When will you get in line with the Word of God? The Word of God says, today's the day, now's the time. Go get them. Let's pray. Father, I ask you, Lord, to open the ears of our understanding, Lord, that we hear you loud and clear. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, that we will see, Lord, where you're leading each and every one of us, Lord, in our own direction, Lord, as you will for our lives. Ask you, Father, to reach and touch us, Lord, that there are no distractions, Lord, that keep us, Lord, from staying focused upon what you want us to be doing. Help us today, Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Change our lives. Change our thinking. Change the things within us, Lord, that are a stumbling block. Father, that as you check us out, Lord, that you'll find us, Lord, willing. Willing, Lord, to be obedient. Willing to stay focused. Willing, Lord, to go after you and the lost at all cost. Help us today, Lord. Lead us, guide us, and direct us, Lord, in each and everything, Lord, that we do, Lord. And as we keep you in mind, Lord, every moment, every heartbeat of our lives, we'll see, Lord, exactly where you want us to be. Ask your Father to be, Lord, with each and every one of these in this congregation today, God. Put someone in front of them today, Lord, that they can speak your name, that they can speak your word, Lord, with power and authority to overcome the enemy, God, to reach and touch somebody's heart, Lord, to win them for you. I speak blessings, Lord, over their families, blessings over them, and I speak of rejoicing in their soul for a soul being saved and staying in that perfect will of our Heavenly Father. And Father, I just give you all the praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen.